Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So many things we could talk about in this passage. Jesus is going to go through Samaria. He's going to meet a woman at a well. He's going to have a teaching with the disciples. There's a town of Samaritans that is going to be grabbed by, their attention is going to be grabbed by him. And it's just so much. He's going to talk about worship in spirit and in truth, and that God's looking for worshipers. But as I was praying over this passage this week, I said to the Lord, Jesus, what's important to you? What was important to you here in this story? Jesus, what mattered to you? And I felt like the Lord whispered, this woman. Barry, pay attention to this woman. You want to know what matters? This woman. And so today, as we look at her, as we look at her story, as we look at this encounter, and you remember, as we're going through the Gospel of John, we're paying attention to what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Teach them what I said, show them what I did. That's what we're paying attention to. But watch how he interacts with this woman. John chapter 4, the first 6 verses. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus didn't baptize them as disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. We talked about that just a little bit in the closing of our message last week. Here we are, verse 4. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to this Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well. It was about noontime. It says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. That's certainly an option. It's the most direct route. Had to go through Samaria. If you're just talking about logistics and Google Maps, how to get somewhere, that would be the direct route. But that's like saying you have to go through Red Deer to get to Edmonton. It's just not true. You don't have to. You can go out to Banff. You can go up to Jasper and swing over to Edmonton. It'll cost you probably about 4 extra hours or so. But that's the route the Jews would have taken. Rather than just go directly, the most direct route through Samaria, they would go the long way around so they didn't have to go through Samaria, so they didn't have to be with those Samaritans, with those people. Somehow I think that even though there's this woman who is going to draw water from a well, she was being drawn to this place, to this time with Jesus. When it says that he had to go through Samaria, it's not just, I don't believe, just a direct route. It's because he had an appointment with this woman. The timing is quite interesting. We find Jesus alone. Now, that's not unique. We will find Jesus alone at different times. We'll find him alone late at night. We'll find him alone all through the night as he's praying to the Father. We will find him alone early in the morning. Having risen a great while before day, he went to a solitary place and there prayed. We will find Jesus alone, alone, alone. But not often will we find him alone in the daytime. In fact, as they're just simply traveling from one place to another, from Judea to Galilee, we won't find him alone. But we do this. Maybe he just needed some space from the disciples. I love you, I just don't want to be with you right now. And he sends them off to this town to get groceries. It's interesting that all of them went. Nobody stayed with him. Whether by choice or by his direction, we don't know. But he was alone. But it certainly grabs my attention wondering if this woman, who we're going to read about in a moment, if this woman would have approached the well if she saw this band of guys hanging out there. Instead, there was just one guy sitting beside the well. And she'll approach. Jesus will call her in a moment. We'll read, dear woman. And there's a dearness, there's a tenderness to this story that we're going to see the moment where she meets Jesus. verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me. I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and the well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Verse 13, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." Jesus asked for something very simple: a drink of water. But clearly he is using this moment as a segue to have a conversation with this girl. A conversation that will change her life. She is shocked that this Jewish man would talk to her. Loved ones, I wonder how many people would be shocked that Jesus, the Son of God, would talk to them. That Jesus would stop and talk to me. How is it that you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how is it that you would give me any attention, would give me the time of day? How is it that you would speak to me? We talk about that. We talk about, well, Jesus spoke to me. Jesus said to me. Even this morning, as I said, as I was praying and asking Jesus what was important to you, I said, I felt Jesus say to this woman. We can't just jump over that. Jesus said. How overwhelming it is for people in our own frailty, in our own humanity, in our own failings, in our own not measuring up, for Jesus to speak to us. It's overwhelming love, overwhelming grace. And Jesus replies, "If you knew the gift of God," that's another version, it says, "Oh, if you knew the gift God has for you, you'd ask me for a drink of living water." Boy, I read that this week and my heart just, I don't know, it just felt like it burst. That phrase, "if you only knew the gift God has for you." And isn't that the compassion that we have for people, for loved ones who are alienated from Christ, or who think that they don't measure up enough, or don't have it all together, or haven't followed close enough, or whatever the case is, or those who are even antagonistic towards the gospel, towards the church, towards Christ, whatever it is, just on opposite sides. Boy, that phrase, it just filled my heart. I thought, if you only knew the gift God has for you. Where the other version will say, if you knew the gift of God, well, Jesus is that gift. If you only knew the gift God has for you. Somewhere in the Old Testament, it tells us that people stopped searching for God. God's people walked away from him. It says that they exchanged the fountain of living water. Jeremiah will tell us. They exchanged the fountain of living water for these cisterns that they've hewn from, they've created, crafted by themselves and for themselves. In fact, he says, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You're a people who've exchanged your glory for things that do not profit. And that prophet Jeremiah is crying out, oh, turn to God. And I just think somehow this phrase, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, you could stop searching. Because you found him. Living water. Oh, that people would know the gift God has for them. Living water. She would understand this means running water like a stream. When you talk about living water, it's not water that's stagnant. It's not just in the well. It's a source. It's a living, running, moving stream. You understand it either as above ground or an underground spring. That's what she would hear, living water. And she'll be quick to respond and say, how do you propose to do that? Now, she's undoubtedly heard enough from guys in her life that didn't come through. We'll learn that in a moment. Here's another guy making a promise. You'd ask me, and I'd be a source of life, of living water. She looks at him and says, we read this. Well, hey, I don't know that she said, hey, buddy, but no rope, no bucket. Well is deep. Now, if we back up the story, let's remember, you know how we started this conversation? You asked me for a drink. And now, guy with no bucket, you're saying that you can give me water. She'll say, after all these years, we're still coming to this well, Jacob's well. We're still coming here. If there was living water around here, if there was a stream, we would have found it by now. We would have found it by now. And we're coming here. Are you greater than Jacob? It was a miracle that he found this well at all. And we're coming here. And you're going to pull something off greater than that? Jesus will agree and he said, yeah, you're right. Anybody who comes to this well, you're going to come again. And you're going to come again and you're going to come again and you're going to come again. But the water I give you, now he doesn't say this. He doesn't say the water I find for you, the water I show you. He says, the water I give you. He's talking about him being the source. He is the only one who can give living water. The living water that he is talking about. Not just the water I show you, not the water I find you, but the water I give you. That water will become a spring. And I love how it says fresh and bubbling. Fresh and bubbling. He will give you this kind of life. It'll spring into eternal life. And then she says this, sir, give me this water. Give me this water that I don't have to come back here again. I'm tired. I am done. Coming here over and over and over again, I'm done. Give me this water. And watch what Jesus says. It's a showstopper. He says this. He finally gets her to the place, here at this moment. Sir, give me this water. He says this, verse 16. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. When she finally says, give me this water, he doesn't. He says, go call your husband. Do you ever wonder what would have happened if she would have responded differently? Oh, okay, sure. Just let me grab some water. I'll go back into the town, get my husband, and we'll both be right back. He'd never see her again. That's how the story could have ended. Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll go get him. And did you notice as we read, when she admitted that she didn't have a husband, what Jesus said? He went on to say, in the text, he went on to say that he already knew. He talked about the five husbands and the guy that she's with now. But bracketed on that information, he starts with, you spoke rightly, or you're right. He says, you're right, you spoke rightly. And he concludes that with, you have certainly spoken the truth. You've certainly spoken the truth. Remember that phrase because it is absolutely critical to where we're going as we're walking into these next few verses. Remember, what's important? This woman. What's important? This woman he's with. And he says to her, you said right, You have certainly spoken the truth. Absolutely critical we remember that. Because one of the things that Jesus has just said, Shauna would have walked us through this when she was talking about Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, people love the darkness lest they come to the light and their deeds are exposed. And here is a woman who comes straight out and says, tells them the truth. Verse 19. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it's here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus said, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it no longer will matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For the Father is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Some people believe that she just tried to deflect the conversation when Jesus gives her more information than she gave up. You've had five husbands, the guy you're with isn't. I don't believe that. I don't believe that she's just deflecting. She said, sir, you're a prophet. She gets it. Okay, this bucketless man, maybe there's something to him. Maybe there's something about this spring of living water. And she immediately goes to worship. I need an answer about worship. She immediately transitions to worshiping God. Here's a woman who's thirsty for a living water. Give me this water. They don't have to come back to this place again. Sir, you're a prophet. Tell me about worship. Jesus will essentially say, dear woman, it's not so much about where you worship, but how you worship. That time is coming, not so much about where you worship, but how you worship. In fact, that time is here right now. He says, true worshipers. He didn't say worshipers are Jews. He didn't say worshipers who are Samaritans. He didn't say worshipers who have it all together and have finally figured it all out. He said worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. Worshipers who will be authentic. And I just can't help thinking he was talking right to her. Talking to this woman about worship. Remember what he said, you spoke rightly, you told the truth. And then he will say, the hour is coming. In fact, it now is. God's looking, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, dear woman, you're looking for God, but he's looking for you. You want to talk about worship? Worship in spirit and in truth. Here's a girl who comes and will just tell the truth. And Jesus stopped her in that moment. And then watch. This is why I'm so convinced of this story. Watch what happens in verse 25 and 30 through 30. Woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I'm the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. What a woman. She is looking for living water. She's looking to worship God. And she says, she is awaiting the Messiah. This Samaritan woman, I know the Messiah is coming and he will tell us. He will explain everything to us. What is she saying? He'll tell us the truth. She's telling the truth. Jesus is saying God's worship, God is looking for those who will worship him in truth. Honey, he's looking for you. She says, yeah, when the Messiah comes, he's going to explain everything to us. We'll finally understand the truth. We'll get it. And he says, I am he. He's here. And then look what happens when the DoorDash disciples show up with the food. She takes off. She's had this encounter with Jesus and she takes off. And sometimes we can be tempted to do that. We can have a moment with Jesus. We know it's real, authentic, and then we run away to our old life again. But she comes back. And she brings back so many people with her. And Jesus will be speaking to the disciples about some spiritual things. They're thinking he's talking about physical things. And that is so much a part of the Gospel of John. We've already read that Nicodemus with Jesus. How can a man be born again? How can you enter your mother's womb again? Talk about living water. On and on through John's Gospel, Jesus is going to talk about spiritual things. The disciples aren't going to get it because they're thinking he's talking about physical things. Beware of the bread of the Pharisees. He's not talking about the bread. But look at these last verses, verse 31, as the disciples are back with the groceries. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, listen, guys, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months have been between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life. What joys await the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you did not plant. Others have already done the work, and now you get to gather the harvest. You want real life, real nourishment, real strength? He said, it's good. It's doing God's will. Just like this temporal water, you'll be thirsty again. Just like the groceries you bought, we'll be hungry again. This is the temporal stuff. What really matters is doing God's will and finishing his work that he's called him to. He says, don't wait. Don't wait. Jesus talks about not waiting. The harvest is ready when you don't expect it. You never know the seed that's been planted by someone else that you get to harvest, that you just walk into because God has already been at work in their life. How many times do we talk to people that when they finally make the decision to accept Christ into their life and they start walking with him, then the lights go on and they look back and say, oh, God was with me here. Oh, God was drawing me here. Oh, somebody shared with me here. And you look back. Seed had already been sown. That's what I think about when Mark Dantu goes into the prisons. He says, this week we led 9 people to Christ or 6 people to Christ or they prayed the prayer. Those kinds of things. I think somebody has already planted some seed. Mark got to harvest those, or John when he does the walking stick, or the serves as a chaplain, or Shauna when she ministers, Beth used to do the prison ministry, on and on. We're harvesting seed that someone else has planted. And then the other thing that Jesus said was, you understand how things work physically, that you plant and then 4 months later, you get a harvest. You understand how it works in the physical realm. Seed does need to be planted, but I can minimize the time that it takes for that to grow. And so you don't need to wait. And just to prove a point, well, more than just to prove a point, but in proving his point, he shares with this woman. She runs back, and we watch Samaritans, a whole town of them, come to Christ because somebody had been planting seeds among the Samaritans, and it just, Jesus shrunk that germinating time from seed to harvest. Watch what happens. These last few verses we have this morning will be done. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus. Verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village, this Jewish man in the Samaritan village. It's more serious than a flame fan in Oiler country. He stayed for 2 days. And just listen to this phrase, because this, I hope, just sinks in our heart, then we can live this out. He stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." I'm going to ask the worship team to come join me. We're going to close in a song in a moment. So there's only one other place that we find this phrase, that he is the Savior of the world. This is one of them that John talks to us about. But that phrase, he stayed there long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And I think that is a part of the key to evangelism and to loving people. Can we just stay in their lives long enough so that they can hear his message and believe? Not that we would leave their lives early. Not that we would break relationship with people over whatever might be going on in their lives or our lives, but that we might stay long enough for them to hear his message and believe. Maybe it's your workplace. And there are times when we transition, just like we've talked about, Pastor Chris, transitioning seasons. She's not going anywhere. She's not leaving this workplace. But there are times when we transition. Mr. Chris, that's his retirement, moving out of ProPat. But we stay long enough for people to hear his message and believe. So wherever God has placed you, wherever God has planted you, may we be those who are able to stay long enough in caring and loving that they would hear his message, that they would believe, that they would know, oh, that they would know the gift that God has for them. The gift that God has for them in his son, Jesus. Shauna led us in that prayer of dedication or rededication of our lives. Oh, how he loves us. In a few moments, as we head to the service, one of the scriptures we'll pause on is that nothing can separate us from God's love. Sin separates us from relationship with him, but nothing separates us from his love, not height nor depth or any other created thing. Nothing separates us from God's love. He loves us. He loves people, and may we be those who demonstrate his love, because if they only knew the gift that God has for them in his son Jesus, may we be those who take that message.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.